Welcome to the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church Podcast, where two pastors process the context of church and the practice of discipleship. Ted and I have just returned from District Conference, our semi-annual denomination gathering. So today, we talk a bit about that, and we continue our conversation about spiritual gifts. This week, we're talking about a word that might be a little confusing, apostleship. What is an apostle? And is that gift still relevant to the church today? Thanks for joining us. This is episode 33 of the Zach Pod.
All right, Ted. All right. We are back from District Conference.
We are back. Yay.
The District Conference of the Alliance Southeast.
That's right.
Yeah.
I know.
What do we have to report? It was a business meeting.
Yes.
So there was some voting.
There was. They reelected our district superintendent for another term for 4 years, which will start in 2027, I guess.
Yeah, Tom Flanders is going to continue to be our DS, which yes. I think is good. Most people are pretty happy about that.
Yeah, he got 95% of the vote.
Yeah.
And
don't know who those few dissenters were.
129 ballots, so we figure there was at least six who didn't vote for him, but yep. That's okay.
I don't know who dissented, but I'll bet he does.
Yeah.
Because I bet that they would make it known.
Yeah, Tom, if you're listening, don't get that under your skin, okay?
No. That's overwhelming support. We're happy. Yep. And we voted on the budget.
Which was the budget.
Very similar to the previous.
Got to meet the new Vice President of Church Ministries, which is Reverend Kelvin Walker.
That's in the national office,
right? From the national office, and he was, coming down from Reynoldsburg, Ohio, and Kelvin did a great job, and so it was great seeing him.
Yeah, Ted likes Kelvin because he incorporates lots of hymns into his preaching.
He does. That's a new thing, I think. A new cutting way to preach now is you sing part of your sermon, with hymns.
So you can't just quote the song like you've been doing. You have to actually sing the song.
You got to sing the song. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, that is relatively pleasant. So what happened is Kelvin preached on the first night and he started singing. He said he was Baptocostical and he started singing these old hymns. And then the second night they had a different speaker and that pastor started singing this hymn that spoke to him. And he kept looking at Kelvin as he was singing. It was great. Kelvin was just smiling.
And Tom had to speak the next morning, and he was like, well, I'm not going to sing.
That's right. He said, I wasn't going to sing. You can't make me. So that was funny. But he did quote that we should sing loud and praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Even with a joyful noise.
A couple guys from the district led worship.
Mm-hmm.
It was there in New Smyrna Beach, so it was nice. And
nice.
Over Sue there, got to go with you.
And Sue got to go with me, so she helped me behave, which was good, and brightened every moment that we had together that was good. And my brother got to come over the first night, so that was great that he was there. Mm-hmm. And so overall, I think it was a good conference. I was encouraged and just trusting the Lord for his very best for his people and our churches in Florida.
Yeah, the theme was going deeper. So they talked about going deeper in terms of your calling and deeper in terms of your connection to the Lord and deeper in worship and that kind of thing. So, it was good. It was a good...
There's a great song, I Want to Go Deeper With You, too.
Yeah, it's too bad they didn't know that one.
No, that would have been great. It is a good song. So come to our church and you can hear it. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
I thought the music was good. I thought it was a good time. And that's just something we do every year. So, It's the district conference is every other year now, but it's important to connect with the district and get a sense of where they're trying to move the churches, and mostly they're available as a resource. If our church needs help with something or wants to take part in an initiative, wanted to do some sort of church planting initiative or like a mission trip, they have all. Basically, a lot of resources for churches like that.
It's good to stay missions, connected. Yeah, the missions endeavor of supporting district missionaries that are sent out. That's been picking up steam and is doing very well under John Sappia and his team, and they're doing great. They're going to Germany, and I think he said Mexico. And
they're taking a group of youth to Senegal.
Which
is cool. If there's youth who are interested in future in missions, they're going to take a trip, like a vision trip there. So, it's good to stay connected, and I think it was good to see everybody. All Ted's friends are like Ted's age, so that's who I hang out with also.
And they're retiring, and so they did talk about retirement, and it's like, okay, all right, well, Lord. And the Lord keeps saying, well, I've still got some tread on my tires, and there's still much to do yet for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Not that you can't serve him if you're retired. You can, and encourage you to do that. But right now,
not time for
Ted.
Absolutely not. Ted, we've been in a series about the spiritual gifts, and today I thought we would tackle one that has that's confusing to some folks,
okay,
myself included, and that is apostle.
Apostle.
The gift of apostleship, to be an apostle.
Yeah.
What does that mean? What is your experience with it? Sometimes you're driving down the road and you see, like a storefront church, and it's like, yes, the first church of the apostolic something something. They like to throw that word in there.
Yeah.
And some have been given to be apostles, right?
Yeah,
it says in the spiritual gift list. So what is your experience with that? What does it mean?
Yeah, sometimes you come across and you have ministers who have that name, apostle so-and-so and so-and-so.
Right, right. Who would name themselves apostle. What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean? Well, my understanding is, as we look into the word, you know, I kind of look at are the disciples, and they were called apostles by Jesus himself, and the term came to be known in a very specific sense that they were eyewitnesses of Jesus, personally involved with Jesus. Later in the church history, the apostle became a term used, sent out one, mm-hmm, a sent one. And so it is interchanged today. I kind of hold personally to the view that apostles are those who were with Jesus physically. They were part of that inner group and the 12 apostles and a specific anointing and leadership that the Lord gave them. But in the church today, you know, God gives leadership to the church. And I know we'll talk about some of those other giftings. But
well, when we say apostle, do you think that's interchangeable for leadership then?
I think in the broader spectrum of Christianity, there are those that do view that. And some feel that in the evangelical world that we are missing it by not tapping into that terminology of apostle. But I don't believe that we are missing it in that sense. In the leadership of the church today, you have different governing authorities and different people. Some churches have terms of bishops. Some have, superintendents.
Sure.
Some have...
President.
President. Yeah.
Those okay. Kind of so terms. You're saying some people use apostle as like a leadership term?
Yes.
Evangelical world are missing it. So do you mean like those like outside of the evangelical world would use apostle more? What do you mean?
Well, I think there's flavors in Christianity that use the word apostleship. So for example, I know there's probably some charismatic churches or Pentecostal churches that use that word apostleship.
And they would mean a leader.
Like a leader.
Okay.
Yeah. Be like someone who is the pastor, who's the leader of the church. Where I've known people who have been in leadership who like the term apostle, meaning that I am a called out one, a sent one, so that my ministry, their ministry particularly, is broader, wider scope than just the local congregation.
Okay.
It might be a broader sense, might be geographically wider.
So one idea is the apostles are the 12 that Jesus chose, right?
Yes.
That Jesus selected and anointed.
Yeah.
And there were several qualifications
in Scripture. And the Apostle Paul, he was called the Apostle, Apostle Paul. And his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus qualified him for that. A lot of theologians view that.
Right. So if we're going with the first definition, which is one that, like, Jesus appointed—
Yes.
Right, so that would be a gift that doesn't operate anymore, if that's what it is.
That's correct.
Because that is just for those people. And the main qualifications that they had, and this includes Paul, was that they were witnesses of the resurrection.
Yes.
That they were appointed by Jesus. Jesus named them apostles.
Yes.
Or they were chosen by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So witnesses, chosen, eyewitnesses of the earthly ministry. So candidates had to have been with Jesus from his baptism by John to his ascension. Paul would be an exception to that. And then number four is like signs and wonders. All of the apostles, the marks of a true apostle included miracles, according to 2 Corinthians and the book of Acts. So that's talking about the first definition, if you will, of to be an apostle. I think that's probably why we're a lot less comfortable walking around calling people apostles now, because right. we think of the apostles as those 12 and yes. maybe Paul, you know?
Yes.
And then there's a second definition that is, like you said, a delegate or an ambassador, somebody who's sent out. There's a couple Greek words, but they sound very similar. It's like apostolos or apostello, but it's a messenger and someone who's sent. It includes the idea of being set apart, like made holy. So set apart in order to send out, like on a mission. You'll notice in those gift lists in Corinthians and Romans, they don't use the word missionary.
Right.
But right. some people would say that you could just substitute the word missionary with the word apostle. When you see what the apostle definition is, somebody who's sent out as a messenger or ambassador.
That's correct.
Now, that's interesting to me because there's actually nothing in here that says leader. I think the leadership part that we bring to it is that first definition.
Yeah.
Those 12 and those Paul 12. Were leaders. And they so leaders. Now if we call someone an apostle, it means a leader, a big like head, a bishop in charge of the church. But the actual definition of the word when it's used in the gifts, especially passages, and when Paul says it, he's talking about people who are sent out with the message of the gospel. Paul's like, am I not an apostle? And what he means is, I would think, someone who is sent out with the message, right? Because that was his ministry. Yeah. That's what he was doing.
Well, when you look at the Great Commission, Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. You know, baptize him in my name, and the promise is he's with us always. Mm. So that is commission that Jesus specifically gave his disciples there, but it's also a broader commandment or commission for all believers everywhere to be his ambassador, his representative, and to share the good news with our neighbors and everyone we meet.
Sure.
But there's also a specific calling that God taps on an individual person's heart and says, are you willing to go for me?
Yeah.
You know, are you willing to go
beyond your local context?
Beyond your local context, beyond your environment. Are you willing to go and, you know, change your context, change your environment, change the people that you, you know, your language, and just encounter all those changes for my name's sake?
I wonder if that might be a good delineation then, because while we all are supposed to be witnesses in wherever we are, that's true. And he told the 12 and he told everyone who was witnessing his ascension to go and to be his ambassadors. There's different gifts, as we've been talking about.
Yes.
Some people are gifted in compassion. We're all supposed to be compassionate, but some people have the gift of compassion, or the gift of encouragement, like we've talked about. And so some people have a gift of being an apostle. And I think the way that I would really lean on it today is saying a missionary.
Yeah.
Because that really seems to line up with, when we use the word missionary, what we mean. Somebody who's like, by a body, like by your church or by a group, you are selected and sent out.
You are a sent out one.
You know, as a with a message.
That's true.
So I think that might be my favorite take on the word. But what we're talking about is just in general how it gets used.
Romans 16:7.
Yeah, what does it say?
It says, greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was.
So this is Paul calling two other workers whose names we don't speak of very much, Junia, who's a woman, and Andronicus, who I don't have any idea about, although it sounds pretty Greek.
Yeah, it does.
And but he said they're fellow Jews.
Yes.
So, you know, maybe they were Hellenistic Jews living outside. It certainly, like, the name sounds like, but I'm not an expert on names. Anyway, Paul called them apostles.
Yeah.
Did he mean two people who had witnessed Christ's ascension?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah.
Or did he mean people who were sent out with the, you know, my fellow apostles, people who have the same ministry as me?
Well, I know several years ago in the church growth movement, church planting movement, that the word apostle became a buzzword.
Mm.
That it was a neglected gift, and we have to include it back into all the gift mix of the
apostolic
church,
whatever,
the apostolic whatever it is. And so there has been many wonderful scholars, probably, and believers on both sides writing support books and articles on using that term within the church. And you know, it is a called out one. There is, when you look at a international worker today or a missionary today, look at their life, they would probably humbly say, I'm no different than you are,
right?
Except I've gotten this specific word from the Lord, and I'm just being obedient, and I'm called out and sent. And you know, what a lot of our international workers, I marvel at their resiliency. I marvel at their ability to sacrifice for the cause of the gospel. I marvel at their ability to give up, you know, so much that, you know, family. They're separated physically thousands and thousands and thousands of miles, as well as all the regular comforts of home.
Sure.
So there is that special grace I think God gives everyone who's gifted, regardless of your gift. But for the missionary, the overseas worker, the international worker, God has placed upon them a mantle, so to speak, a calling. And as they obey, you know, there is that significance of leadership. And you can use the term apostle, sent out one, I think.
I think, you know, we can call it a calling
Yeah.
or we can call it a gift. And I think in a lot of cases, we're saying the same thing. Because if God invites you, it's a blessing. It's a gift. So and it changes the way you think about it.
And you don't want to ignore that invitation.
Oh, definitely not. But if I say, well, I have the gift of missionary, or if I say I have the vocation or the mantle of missionary, it might sound different. But honestly, the meaning of this is a gift that was given to me is probably the best. And I think most missionaries would say they would use the word calling and invitation because that's what we're comfortable saying.
Yes.
But this is a gift. This is in the spiritual gifts list. It's a gift that was given to me.
Yeah, I would say it's a gift because as that individual, it is a gift. The gifts that God gives us, it is a blessing because as we look at how God uses us and if we've been faithful, you know, little God will give much. But as we look at how God uses us and we see the spiritual blessings that grow from that, you know, I'm just thinking of the McCombs and their ministry in Thailand. Mm-hmm. You know, when they started, there was nothing, you know, and now you look, they're ministering to over 100 and maybe close to 150 children every day ministering to them. And you can see the growth and how God has used them and blessed them. And I would say they would probably say, wow, this is a gift from God.
It's a gift to them and they are a gift to the church, to the global church. So it's in these passages in Romans and Corinthians and Ephesians, when it's talking about the gifts, he's saying God has given these gifts to the church. So he's given the gift of apostles to the church. He's given missionaries to the global church.
Yes.
He's given pastors to the church, right?
Yes.
And a lot of those things you said about missionaries, people would say about you as well, pastoring a church, things that you sacrifice or give up or, you know, that sort of a calling, but you would still call it a blessing and call it a gift.
Absolutely.
And so it's both. It's I'm receiving a gift, but it's also I am a gift from God to this thing. Of course, we never say it that way because it doesn't sound humble,
but
this is the function. This is the way it works.
Right.
Now, so I was a missionary, and I would never, even though I agree with this definition of apostle, I would never run around saying I'm an apostle because people would, because the definition is confused. You know, they would,
absolutely.
A lot of people would probably think that I mean, well, I'm a gifted leader. And maybe I am, maybe I'm not, but that's not what I mean. A lot of people would think I'm using it wrong because I wasn't one of the 12 plus Paul.
Right.
And apparently Junia.
Right.
Right? And so because of that confusion in the definition and the way that we talk about it, we don't say that word.
We don't say that.
And I don't advocate that we necessarily should because people would get confused.
Yes.
We say missionary, and that's fine. But I think when you see the word apostle, you could replace it with missionary.
Sure.
In most cases, even in the cases of the disciples, because what did Peter do? He went over to that
group.
He was a leader in the church, but he also went and was sent out.
Yes.
So I think even in the case of the original, I agree that they have this special anointing. Okay, so I'm not saying that, and I think that's why we just continue to call them the apostles.
Yeah.
Usually, I say disciples, to be honest, but we know what we're talking about.
Yeah,
we're talking about the OGs.
Well, we think of them as disciples. Yeah. And we all are disciples. Right. And we're following Jesus, so that's a good thing.
But just in your own study of the word, when you see that word apostle, when you're thinking about the gifts of apostleship, I think none of these definitions are wrong, so they're all different ways to think about it. And if you think about it as leadership, I think that's fine too.
I think the word apostle, I think it is. I think we can embrace it in that light as that missionary call, that international worker. But in my framework, in my mind, I've always leadership, because when you look at God has given the church some who are apostles, some who are you have that word prophets. What is that? Prophets. Mm-hmm. And then you have pastors. And you know, sometimes even in the church today, we confuse those prophets and pastors or shepherds. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Well, are we actually taking care of real physical sheep?
Probably not.
Probably not. But there are similarities because Jesus himself used that term. And when we look at Scripture, we try to perceive, okay, Father, Lord, what are you teaching us through your word? What does it mean for the church to embrace this? And how can we function because of your generosity of giving us gifts to use for your glory?
Yeah. And like we've said already, it's not an exhaustive list that we get in Scripture. And the way that we define the words, it can be helpful, but you don't want to get pigeonholed into this is my gift. The idea is God is blessing you and then asking you to be a blessing to the church and to the world through various means and ways.
Yeah.
And one of those is being sent out, for some people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ephesians 2:19-22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Acts 1:21-26. Therefore, it was necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. So we have two passages here that reference the idea of apostolic ministry. The Acts passage, of course, is when they need to replace Judas, and they kind of list out that criteria, and that's where we come up with, honestly, those four things of what is an apostle in the church? A lot of it comes from this place where it's like, hey, it has to be somebody who's been with us since the baptism, who's borne witness to the resurrection, etc., because he was there. And that's taking up the role that Judas was supposed to fulfill of being one of the 12. So there's that definition of apostle.
Yes.
And then there's this other one, which may also be that same definition, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So two different titles there, prophet and apostles.
Mm-hmm.
And is that talking about the 12, or is it talking about the people who have been sent out to go speak to these foreigners and strangers, which does not just include the 12, right? So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, when you look at the Ephesian context, to me, my first thought is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as chief cornerstone. I think of the history of the church. I think of the Old Testament and the prophets there. You think of Isaiah, who said, here am I, send me, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think of the apostles, those 12, and then you combine that with Acts passage, and you look at, we have to select one. That has, and it looks at what the parameters they put, beginning from John's Baptist to the time when Jesus was taken up from us, for one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And so there's that appointment there that they do, and it fell on Matthias. And but then you have that interesting context that the Apostle Paul writes about with Junia and Andronicus, that kind of called out one, sent one. I think overall for the landing of that, I think if you talk to any, at least the ones that I know, the international workers that I know, they don't, like you said, they don't come across and say, well, man, I am Apostle Joe, you know, so please address me as AJ, okay, or whatever, Apostle Joe.
Well, to be fair, they don't say, please call me Missionary Joe either.
And they don't call Missionary Joe or IW Joe. No, they're very humble. They're a called out one. They're a sent one. I would say they're totally in to Jesus and his gifting them with this ministry. And so they're willing to go all in, sacrifice all to serve the King of Kings. And because the message and the teachings of Jesus is worth everything. Hmm. So they're willing to sacrifice everything. I remember a dear mentor for a brief summer when we were on tour at Nyack College in a singing group, and we'd go around sing at different churches. One of the adult chaperones was Anthony Ballback, and Reverend Anthony Ballback, he served as a district superintendent and as a pastor, but he also served as a missionary to China before China fell. And he also served as a pastor in Hawaii, and they called him, I don't know if this is the right, Domine was the pastor name that they called him, and so I'd always call him Domine. But anyway, Reverend Ballback, Anthony Ballback, what a wonderful servant of the Lord, humble. I remember he played violin in orchestra and studied violin and practiced violin and loved classical music and was really good at violin. Even in his retirement ages, he was playing violin, you know. And I asked him, I said, well, why didn't you just pursue that musical career and that ability to play violin before others, and then, you know, through that avenue of music, be a witness? And it was because of that gifting God had given him to go to China, he and his wife, and they went to China before it fell, and they shared the gospel of Jesus. And he said, it's because the gospel message, the teachings of Jesus, is worth more than any enjoyment I get from playing a musical instrument. It's worth more than, you know, people receiving what I play if they receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. And that is the treasure that we get to hold, and that's the treasure we get to share.
Yeah.
Even in our giftedness, even in our musicianship, we get to share that gift. But for Anthony Ballback, it was definitely going at a time in the world where, and it still is needed today, where people who don't have access to the gospel of Jesus Christ need to hear. But there's a special gifting, I believe, whether we call it missionary, international worker, or apostle, that God's Spirit moves in such a mighty way that they go and thank the Lord for his movement in our lives and his mercy and kindness, but also for those who do respond and say, yes, Lord, yes.
Yeah, you know? God, through Christ, reconciling the world to himself is something that's worth spending your life for, you know?
It is.
And I think there's a lot of things we spend our lives for that in retrospect we might find are not worth it.
That's right.
But that's one that is, you know? And so I think
it is.
When you sort that in your mind, it's pretty easy to say yes to that calling. But it is a gift when we're called.
But I do think Jesus is worth it all.
Absolutely. So I think, just closing up, it's fair to say for sure that there should be a special reverence and office for the 12 and Paul and probably others whose names we don't know, like that original group of disciples that witnessed the ascension, right? It was like 120 or something like that. There's probably a special office that I'm fine just calling apostle, you know, and then not using that word for the other things. But when I look at the idea of apostolic ministry today, it's messengers.
Yes.
It's people who are being sent out as messengers. Yes. The foundation the foundation of what? It says, you are God's people, members of his household. That's the church. So the family of God, the kingdom of God, the church. What is the foundation of the church? It's messengers, apostles, and prophets. And the chief among them is Christ Jesus, who brought a message as well, the chief messenger. And he's other things. He's the leader of the church, and he's the head, and he's, you know, he's not exclusively a messenger. But one of the things that he did was bring the message of the gospel and live it. Apostles, prophets do the same thing. They speak the message. Yes. They speak the words. And so I think there's apostolic ministry happening today through messengers.
Yes.
Whether they're missionaries or other. But there is apostolic ministry that's happening. And probably we don't call them apostles because we don't want to get them confused. I don't think you were one of the original 12. But you're operating in
a gift
upon which the church is built. It is the foundation of the church is the sharing of this message.
Absolutely.
That's not only here in Ephesians. That's elsewhere in Paul and other places, right? Yes. How beautiful are the feet. It's the messengers are the foundation. It's then Christ, the chief messenger, was the chief cornerstone of that foundation.
The Lord says, we even studied that in our Bible study this week, that Jesus considers every follower of his a priest. Mm-hmm. You know, we're his ambassador, his representative, but we're a priest to intercede on the behalf of others. That is, again, that calling that each of us has been, or that invitation that God has given each of us to embrace and to say, yes, Lord, yes, because you are worth it all. So grateful for his giftings to the church, and that God is building his church, and Christ is the head, the chief cornerstone. Mm-hmm. And what a privilege we have to partner with him.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The ZACpod. All of our content is created in-house by the ZAC Media Team. To learn more about the ministries of our church, follow us on Instagram or Facebook, and subscribe to our newsletter at zaccma.org. If you like what we're doing, please share the podcast with a friend and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.